It's a delight to be here and to share some of these things with you. It is, as Pastor said, it is a very different culture, and we're still learning. It'll be a lifelong learning process, but I'm also learning and finding out prejudicial attitudes more and more from within our, I use the word Anglo, our English-speaking culture, and churches within and to other cultures, not just Hispanic. We grew up, most of us that are of little advanced age, grew up understanding the prejudicial attitudes, of North and South and black and white and all of those things. But it continues to carry over, and it is carries over in many, many cultures. And even from my travels overseas, I find out that it is more predominant here in the United States than it is in other places. Now, there are prejudices of the like in other places, but it seems as though it's much more predominant here. And I don't really know why that is, but it is. It just seems to be. And there are issues around. For instance, just a couple of thoughts about that. Recently, in fact, just a couple of days ago, I heard of a situation where there some Hispanics within a church, and in their children's program on like an Awana kind of a program, that a couple of the kids who are bilingual, but even though they all hang out together and do things together, sometimes, you know, the little kids will just kind of break out and talk in Spanish to each other a little bit. And a couple of English-speaking kids who knew better, because I know all of these kids, said, "You don't speak Spanish here. If you want to speak Spanish, go back to Mexico." And I'm thinking, now these kids are young elementary, and they're getting that from someplace else, which is probably the parents who are all believers within the church. And I'm thinking, that's not a biblical mindset and attitude. And we need to be mindful that we have to think biblically about all issues of life. That's what we're supposed to do. We say in our doctrinal statements that the Word of God is the final rule of our faith and our life or practice. And yet, I'm finding more and more that though we say those things, and I have to examine my own self, is that really true? And as I grow and walk in this life. There's a church up in Minnesota right now that's the pastor is leaving and the church is going to explode or implode, I guess, in this month sometime here, unless something really happens. And what has happened is in that community, the pastor came to that church. The church was probably about 40 people at the time. They began to grow a little bit, and then a couple who moved up from Mexico to Missouri, trusted Christ and got saved in Missouri in a Baptist church there. And then they moved on up to Minnesota to find work, and they became a part of this church. They started attending this church. But they grew in the Lord. They were somewhat bilingual. They grew in the Lord, and they just started inviting people to church. And before long, they had a Sunday school class in the church. And that's really exciting. People said, "This is exciting." But then as of today, in the English-speaking part of the church, and they've tried to merge it all as one church, and in the English-speaking part of the church, there's about 70 people. But in the Spanish-speaking part, there's almost 100 people. And now there's become a real conflict from the English side, because I've preached in both the English and the Spanish sides of that church. And I know the Spanish pastor and the English pastor, and the Spanish pastor is on the pastoral staff. He's the associate pastor. And they have worked hard, I believe, in trying to have, for instance, deacons who are both English speaking and Spanish speaking, and many of those Spanish speakers are bilingual, and so they work, they've tried to work together to make a body of Christ. And yet, there's become such animosity that the pastor and I were chatting back and forth on the computer this morning, even the senior pastor, English speaking pastor, and he's resigning today because it's become so difficult, and he doesn't have another ministry to go to, and so at the end of October he is moving on. And as I'm chatting with the Spanish pastor last night, finding out that he's not sure what to do because they're a part of this church. They don't have an English church and then a Spanish church. They have First Baptist Church and everybody's a part of that, but they are really shoving and trying to push these out. But in reality, if the Spanish folks would just be a part of the business meeting and just vote, they could be the Spanish church and you could be the, but that's not what they're going to do. So it looks like Pastor Moises is just going to quietly lead his people away because his English is minimal and unless there's some real help there. And so part of what I do is I'm trying to really chat with these people and work with them and offer my assistance to come up and to help them in any way possible and to do that. So we see this great ministry and opportunities all around us, and yet then when something does happen and looks like it's happening for the good, then we have issues again, you know. And there's going to be issues in every church, but cultural issues and sometimes language issues complicate that as well. And so part of what I do is I try to encourage churches who have a lot of Spanish speakers they need to become more bilingual in a lot of things and to help in that. And because when we read Galatians and other passages of scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that the body of Christ, that he says there is no more Jew, there's no more Gentile, but we are the body of Christ. And that should be true no matter who, no matter what culture. Even if the culture does not have a skin tone difference, whether it be somebody from Poland or Germany or, you know, we have that here, you know, and that's worked all right. But you know what I mean? There doesn't have to be the skin color. There doesn't have to be the language issue. But people who come and maybe just speak English and look, but they may have some cultural differences by moving to this land, you know, whether it be somebody from England, somebody from Australia, or some other places, and, or somebody of Asian background. The Asian population is growing very rapidly in the United States. And we need to be careful that we maintain and consider people who are people and just minister to people. They're just people. And it doesn't make any difference who they are. They're just people. Whether, you know, we used to sing the little children's song, which is really not real deep theologically, you know, all the children of the world, you know, red, black, yellow, blue, purple, pink, you know, I don't remember all the colors, but we would teach our kids those songs, but when it comes to reality, we often see that we don't really believe those things. And so is the Word of God our rule of faith and practice? And so all of this, to continue on with these things, there are neighbors, and there are neighbors in many, many different facets. The neighbors of Hispanic, of black, of Asian, even the cultural differences within our United States. And there are great cultural differences. You know, up in Maine. You go from Maine, and, you know, you get up there, and you hear, you know, they're called maniacs. And you say, well, I understand that more now that I've been up there, you know. But if you take somebody from Maine, originally from Maine, and they go down to Alabama or Louisiana, it's like foreigners. And east to west, northwest to southeast. And we need to be mindful of that, of ministering to people and realizing that, and if I say that here in this area, that we've not always, everybody is not just like Western Pennsylvania people. And we say, glory, hallelujah, you know. And, but that's true everywhere I go. It's, if everybody was the same, then it would be, and then one person moved into the area, it would be maybe very difficult. Even a believer from a solid, independent, fundamental Baptist church would come here, and we don't consider, and we don't even think about just loving them as people, and that they may be a little different from us in some ways. You know, we're not talking about theological issues, but in just how we do different things. You know, I mean, somebody from the deep south come up here and there's never, you know, I mean, they may bring it. So they bring tea for the church fellowship dinner, and it's sweet tea. And everybody just says tea on the little tag. And so everybody starts getting the sweet tea, and they take a big gulp of that. And if a northerner doesn't like that, they go, oh, you know. And so we have to be mindful of those things. And I think that's a part of even what I want to share this morning in our morning service about our hearts. And so Wanda and I, and as most people say, my, Wanda never changes, does she? You know, I'm assuming that means that as a couple we don't change, but I know what you're talking about. So for Wanda and I, we continue with these aspects to our ministry and the Hispanic ministry, because my job is I oversee all of the Spanish ministries of Baptist Church Planters, and which takes me from east to west and north to south now in many different aspects, and partnering with established churches and helping established churches. And almost regularly do we hear things, and just on the prejudicial aspect, people come up to us afterwards as we go through certain teachings from the Old Testament to the New Testament and say, we didn't realize how prejudiced we were. And so making challenges on these things. And I know, and it's very difficult because we're not only dealing with those attitudes, but we're dealing also, we have to be careful because we have issues of immigration, we have issues of legality and illegality and all of these things. And though I am loyal and believe that people ought to speak one language in a country, and borders ought to be secure, I believe all of those things. But at the same time, I still, as a minister of the gospel and as local churches, we need to minister to the people who are around about us. Because whether it's Hispanic or somebody, and there are illegal people from Africa, there are illegal people from Europe, there are illegal people from Asia, from every different culture, there's illegal people here. And yet, if they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we can disciple them, and then if they go back to their countries, then we've just sent the gospel back to a whole country, and to families and communities. Because sometimes these people, they go back, and they go back to a community, and they're the only gospel witness of that. And we have testimonies of those things happening. So we try to partner and establish with established churches on these things, and then trying to prepare Hispanic church leaders and guide them and direct them. And that's a part of what I'm doing, hopefully, with Pastor Moises and Pastor Fernando and all these individuals. And the mission is great, of course, because there are all these different cultures of Hispanics and Spanish-speaking people from all over the world that are here, represented here as well. And we typically want to think that they're all Mexican. but they're not. Now, probably the vast majority of them are, but there are many different cultures within the Hispanic culture as a whole. They all speak Spanish. They all have similar foods, but there are a lot of diversities amongst them as well. Even there's diversity amongst the Spanish language. For instance, in the Caribbean there, the Dominican Republic and the Puerto Ricans have probably had the worst Spanish of all of them. They make up their own words. They make up their own sentences and trying to figure them out. And we heard not long ago a little girl in church out in Iowa in a Spanish church, and she's bilingual. And so she truly speaks what we call Spanglish, the mixing of Spanish and English. And so she Wanda heard her say, I'm going arriba. I'm going upstairs from the basement to upstairs. Or one of them may say, voy a upstairs. I'm going upstairs. And so they just, it's a whole nother culture in that sense too. And they're trying to do both things, and it's very difficult to do that. The Puerto Ricans are very, very good at doing that. And then you have all of these other groups. The Caribbean is a little different from Central American and different from the North American group and South American group too. And we realize that Mexico is really a part of North America. And that is the geographical differences of that. So, you have that. And when we were in Costa Rica, we realized that we didn't know this at first, but we found out that in Costa Rica, that when they heard American churches and Christians singing God Bless America, they for a long time assumed that we were singing including them. And we know that when we're singing that, that's really not the essence of that. We're thinking of the United States of America. We're not even thinking in one sense of North America as a whole, including Mexico. And yet the believers in Costa Rica, we're thinking that, isn't that great? The American Christians are singing God Bless America, and that includes North America, South America, and Central America. And so there are mentality of thoughts in all of this in trying to understand how to minister to all of them. Culture is different. Jalapenos a staple in many of the countries, but not in all the countries. And so we just typically think every Hispanic, we look at them and say, oh, you came from Mexico. You must love jalapenos. And they said, no, I'm from Costa Rica. I hate hot food, you know. And we typically, we go to a Mexican restaurant and you get different kinds of salsa. And a lot of those countries do not like that. Here are some things. This is typical Mexican tacos. Now, what you typically eat if you go to Taco Bell or a Mexican restaurant, you get a taco. Even in a Mexican restaurant, it says authentic Mexican food. You generally are not getting a taco like they serve in their homes or in Mexico unless you ask for the right kind of tacos, because they don't serve ground beef tacos in their homes as a general rule. They don't eat ground beef. This is called tacos de asada. They're not putting cheese on it. They're not putting lettuce on it. What you see there is, you see, it's chopped steak. They chop the steak up real small, and they grill it first, asada meaning to grill, and they chop it up real small, and then they put onion on it, diced onion on it, and then diced cilantro, and then they have lime, and you squeeze the lime juice all over it. And in my opinion, you eat that, you'll never eat another Taco Bell, you know, a taco. I'm not sure what it is. That meat, I think, is Chihuahua, you know, from the Chihuahuas that they advertise with. Now, this is Argentina. Argentina is South America, and Argentina, and we just ate with an Argentina family the other evening, and they eat more pasta. They're more Italian-oriented. They don't eat hardly any rice and beans. Where Mexico and Central America and many of the others, they eat a lot of rice and beans at every meal. And Argentina's, this family said to us that we only eat rice as a general rule when we're sick. So, you know, they do that, I don't know, somehow to settle their stomach, you know. So it's more pasta. El Salvador is more of a plate like this, and that is kind of a breadish kind of a thing. It's not quite as thin as a tortilla on the Mexican there. And you'll notice that almost always the tacos in Mexico are not these big tacos. They're not crunchy tacos. They're smaller taco shells like this, flour shells, and there's almost always two of them together that way. And then in El Salvador, those are called pupusa. And pupusa is just, it's similar to a tortilla, but it's kind of stuffed with different things that they eat with. And so, and it's more of a coleslaw out there. I forget the name of it, but it's more of a coleslaw as well. So there's differences. And so anytime we minister to people that is from any kind of a different culture, we can never just assume that they're from a culture that we think that they're from. And that's true here. You know, you have somebody and they have an accent and you just assume you must be from, let's see, South Carolina because of your accent. No, I'm not from South Carolina. I may be from such and such place. And we want to better to ask questions. Well, I detect an accent. Where might you be from, you know? Oh, really? You know, see, somebody that's a true Southerner, you're from what, or from Virginia, and somebody says, oh, you from West Virginia? I said, no, that's an insult. Because from a true Virginian's perspective, now this is history. This is not, all right, I'm not trying to be convincing here. This is history. That what the Virginians believed that they could do in what was called the War Between the States to separate from the federal government, what the federal government allowed West Virginia to do from them. And so there is that cultural issues there. And so we need to understand those things as we do that. And now there are the Spanish population of whatever group that they may be has grown in such proportions that there are more Spanish speakers now or of Hispanic descent within the United States than all of Central America. Central America is over here and it's seven different countries. And there are more Spanish speakers in the continental United States and assuming there Alaska as well, but than all of Central America. In fact, there are more than all of the population of Canada, the entire population of Canada, of Spanish speakers. Now, you can have a lot of attitudes about that if you want. you can have attitudes of why are they here, all these things, you know. But as the Church of Jesus Christ, our main attitude needs to be, what does the Bible say in reaching people? I mean, that's the main thing. The history of our country is people coming. In fact, there is a group of Baptists, I was reading this not long ago, there's a group of Baptists during the Revolutionary period that left the New World here, so to speak, of the United States and went to Canada, Baptist pastors, because they believed, biblically they said, we believe that we should not be involved in revolution. That's an interesting thought. Interesting thought. And I'm not proponing anything particular about that. You know, I love our country and I hate to see what's going on, but I think what's going on is not just an issue with Hispanics and things. I think there's an issue far beyond that that's happening. And we need to be more concerned about that in one sense, but in the same sense, we think about people, you know, of communistic countries and their pastors and their churches and their ministering within that culture, even though they're under persecution. And we need to say, Lord, how do we really sort all this out? You know, I just, Wanda and I just fill out our applications for absentee voting so that we make sure we get that done. And we encourage people to vote and all these things. But I think there's more at stake than just somebody illegal from some different countries. I think there's far greater things at stake, and that there's some intentional things happening. So the ministry is far reaching with Hispanics for us, and so we really broaden out into the larger picture. How can I, you may not like this term, how can I multiply myself? I said, that's just what Wanda needs, more of me, right? But the ministries are so great, and we know that the scriptures, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous, but the labors are what? Few. And we know that is true. But they are fewer in sometimes cultural issues as well. And so I've got to multiply myself to some degree, and that's what we're seeking to do. And so let's break all this down, because seeking to work and to establish Hispanic Baptist churches. And here we have Orlando and Debbie Cojasso, who are in Lorain, Ohio, on the field there now. And we just had our first meeting with them, working with Hispanic church plants for extended periods of time. And that's why we've tried to keep the truck and trailer. But that would be a huge prayer request at this time, because the fuel prices are killing us right now, and we're not sure how to handle that and to do that at this moment. Here is Miguel Quintana and his church, one of our BCP church plants in Seminole, Florida, down near Tampa, a little south of Tampa and area. And they have a good work being established there, and I have to get down there this year sometime as well. And Carol Sioka, who is working with a group down in McAllen, Texas. Carol, we do have, she's a single lady, and so she is not technically a, what we call a lead church planner. She's an associate, so she works with children and women's ministry and all these things. She had been a missionary in Peru for 25 years, and then because of some differences with another mission agency, she came back to the States became a part of BCP. Orlando and Debbie Cojasso in Lorain, Ohio, and basically they're going to lead that ministry. They are Puerto Rican and has a master divinity degree now as well, and they are working. And we had our first meeting the other night, last Wednesday night, and we're gonna have another meeting this Wednesday night, and on the 28th at the BCP home office, we have about 25 people assembling together to, Lord willing, see this take off. And Orlando is going to be leading that. And I'm kind of helping him there, when I'm in the area, and helping Miguel Quintana and, these other church plants as well. Trying to multiply myself, with all of this. Alberto and Adela Marquez in Phoenix, Arizona. This is a bilingual church ministry, and we're excited about that. They do have two services in the morning, one in English and one in Spanish, but Alberto is the pastor, and he preaches in both services. So he can preach. He's fluent in English and fluent in Spanish. He's originally from Mexico, but he is, for the last, 3 years, he's been a U.S. citizen. So we're excited about that. It is Faith Baptist Church, Iglesia Bautista de la Fe, and then at night, he preaches himself in both languages. They sing the hymns in both languages. And so it's really a neat ministry. And it's a busy ministry. Both of them, they also work and teach with baseball players. And he's a chaplain for baseball players. This is Wayne and Shauna Dale, who have been working at that church as well, BCP Church Planters. It's come to the point now where Wayne is, the church ministry there has grown to a point where Wayne now can divide and go and start another church. And so we're excited about that. Wayne is adopted. He's Korean and he speaks Spanish fluently. And so it's really an exciting, family and ministry. And so we're looking, and I'm out there and going out there again sometime here to help them find another area, whether it's actually in Phoenix or some other place, to start another church. That's the multiplication that we are trying to continue to do. And then we have two churches that are started by BCP church planters, and it got to a point, and then they moved on, and then they called pastors, and then the church has kind of dwindled down, and so I go and I help them as well. Spent a month in the top one there, Iglesia Bautista Hispana, which is just simply called Hispanic Baptist Church. So you have to read it backwards in order to figure that out. And in most of those cases, in the bottom one is Calvary Baptist Church out in California. And we still have an agreement. They haven't come to graduation status. And so my job is to help these churches to get to this next level so they can be solid and graduate. And let me see if I can remember. We want them to have their proper paperworks in order, which it would include constitution, doctrinal statement, if it's required to become incorporated, all those kind of things. Now, in Virginia, you don't have to be incorporated. And the Virginia Baptists have always believed that churches should not be incorporated. And so there's still that constant battle going on, but the Virginia Assembly of Baptists, it's a group of just independent Baptists, and it does include a lot of different kind. It would not be Southern Baptists, etc. They're independent Baptists, but they don't always agree exactly where we are on every little bitty thing. But they are a kind of a political activist kind of group. They have a representative that they pay who tries to maintain Baptist liberty. And I've been real impressed with what they do. They are solid people. So trying to get paperwork and those things in order, all that a church would have a place to meet of their own. It does not have to be a church facility, as we would say. It could be a permanently rented facility that they are able to use for their ministry all the time. So it's trying to establish that, to have them financially okay. So the teaching about giving and tithing, and so that they're financially okay, that they would have financial, so they can pay their own bills, all those things, and then so that they would have proper leadership in order. In other words, that they would have deacons and a pastor established there. And there's one more, I can't think. Okay, doctrinally sound, and so I kind of incorporated both of those. So being doctrinally sound, who we are, what we believe, etc., that kind of a thing. So the people know that, so that when the missionary moves on and a pastor comes in, which we see in English-speaking churches all the time, and just baffles me, that a pastor's been in a church for 20 years and the next guy comes in and, you know, just for instance, say the doctrines of grace, and the next guy is called and he's an Arminian. And I said, how does that happen? But it happened in Spurgeon's ministry. You remember reading that, and how Spurgeon, that was one of his greatest fears, and it did happen. Partnering with established churches, challenging them to see the mission field all around them. And so when I do that, I, of course, predominantly I'm speaking about Hispanics, because that's the culture that I know best now of all these other different cultures, Asian culture, etc. That's not what I'm studying about. So, but the things that I teach are cross-cultural, whether it's English-speaking, Spanish-speaking, Filipino, whatever it is. The biblical principles never change. And so we need to keep that in mind as we teach and say, are we missions-minded? Are we missions-minded here in Katanning, in this area? Or are we just missions-minded overseas? I'm often reminded that Acts 1:8, in the command there, that you shall be witnesses where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. But I think that maybe in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, etc., that our mindset was we're looking at the uttermost part of the world and we're not looking at Jerusalem, so to speak. Or if we did that, in such a fashion that it was so man-centered that we did not have substantial growth and consistent growth in that. provide tools for churches to use in outreach. And so I spend a lot of time looking on the internet for solid things that can be used for evangelism and discipleship and training, training of pastors, equipping people through. We have an online magazine called ReachingHispanics.org. In fact, we just redid this whole thing, and it will be put out. We're going to launch it really this next week. I mean, it's active, but we're just really trying to now get it out. And we do different things. Like here we have a deacon's training manual to train deacons, men who are spiritually qualified, and to teach them what it means to be a deacon and to train them. And so we translated this into Spanish. And so we're trying to translate a lot of things, but at the same time find things that we can use that are already there. To recruit Hispanic church planters. There again, it is so hard because there are so few that are trained. And we need to train those who are in their churches, and we need to find those who are available to come. And so part of what I do is I go to all kinds of colleges. I'll be at Bob Jones in just a couple of weeks for the missions conference there. I'm going to a college in Monterrey, Mexico, to ask in the Lord to give me the context of people to come. And then also into, I'm hoping to get into Puerto Rico this next year. There's a Puerto Rico Baptist Bible College, to be able to recruit from. To lead retreats and summits, for training. And this is in Ducor, California. I was in California. Wanda had flown back because she was speaking in a ladies' retreat. And I had a rental car, and I was going down to this town called Ducor, and I was just going south following my GPS, and I called Wanda on the phone while I'm traveling, and I said, well, I've got my computer, I'm early, so I'm just going to get off the road at Ducor exit, go to McDonald's, and use their internet, and get a cup of coffee, and do some things. So I got off there, and there was no McDonald's. I mean, this is grapes and orchards, and vineyards and orchards is all it is. I get off, I drive another 15 miles, and all I see are vineyards and orchards as far as I could see. So I come to the town, Ducor, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll find McDonald's there in Ducor, perhaps. I got to Ducor, there's no McDonald's there. This is Little Mexico. And so I stopped at a gas station because I was hungry to get something, and all I could find, which was fine with me, was a breakfast burrito because that's all they sell, you know, there. So training and leading these things, and so the handsome white guy back here is me, and amongst that, and leading some of the seminars and doing some of the teaching, which is a lot of extra work for me because of the language. But the Lord's been very gracious. We have to try to teach them this way as well. We have DVD series. God's leading in all this, working. These are different groups. You can see I'm teaching and working in California and in Arizona, and using these things. The Collazos, again, a great couple, and we're excited about what God is doing through them and us helping them. This is at Bob Jones, and this is Alberto and his wife Adela, who came and helped me that week there. This is, again, at a missions conference, and I'm trying to encourage this young man who is taking Spanish and enjoying Spanish to be involved in some Spanish ministries, whether he's in an English-speaking church and Hispanics all around him, to be able to do that. This is kind of a scrapbook Wanda's put together for you. This is, of course, me and Wanda and Ben and the Kipper. And the Kipper's still moving along. Greenville, South Carolina, this past winter, we spent some time there. And this was Elena, and Elena was Wanda's tutor. So they had a great ministry there. This is me. I'm preaching at Iglesia Bautista de la Fe in South Carolina. This is in Phoenix. In the spring of this past year, we were in Phoenix and helping this church. This is Pastor Marquez and his wife again there in Phoenix. This is a Bible study that we've helped get going as well. There were there were 15 to 20 Hispanics that came together in this church every Monday night for 20 weeks to study the subject of hermeneutics, how to study the Bible. And that is so crucial because, Lord willing, out of some of these men will become deacons and pastors because they need to know how to study the Bible because so many of them have Pentecostal influences from their past, from the countries they came. Again, Phoenix, actually this, that side, your left there, I'm speaking to these guys who speak no English at all. They're baseball players from Puerto Rico and El Salvador and all kinds of places. And these guys are 17, 18, and 19 years of age, and they've come to the United States. They've been drafted by professional baseball teams, and this church has a ministry to them. In fact, I just heard that about 2 weeks ago, one of these guys got saved. And so we're so thankful for that. And then the kids' ministry is almost always in English. And then in spring of 2012, then I went on to California and ministered with this group of people there, helping them. This was Ben's car, if you saw that. We flew back. We got back on Tuesday where our trailer was, and we've seen Ben. We've been out. They've been to our place. And Thursday, this happened. And he's a walking miracle today, just a walking miracle. His assistant pastor was in that passenger seat that day. And I think it really shook him up, Ben, you know, after the fact. And he's like me. You get through the thing. But he walked away from this. It's unbelievable. He walked away from this thing. And we're so thankful that God spared him. Here he is with my parents, his grandma and grandpa. He keeps a good relationship with them. They live down there. This is just a couple days afterwards. You can see the only injuries he had was little glass cuts on his face. And all that has healed up. And he's just got one little scar is all. This is typical driving down the highway for us at times. And the Lord... that's a brand new tire. Didn't have 1,500 miles on it. But praise the Lord, when I buy my tires, and I buy good quality tires, but I caught something on the highway that sliced the tire. Didn't blow out. Sliced the tire. And God, this past winter for Christmas, through my brother-in-law, gave me a wonderful tool. No more my hand-breaking things. He gave me a Makita battery-packed impact wrench. And, man, that zips off those 8 lug nuts like nothing. I had that tire off, jacked up tire off, tire back on and on the road in a half hour, and I didn't strain at all. Wasn't that great? This is Inner City Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio, that I was in this summer. And, they're in a transition period, but, mostly bilingual people. But this is at a huge, Mexican based community, and it's a real burden to try to find somebody there. Family camp for BCP, and I'm leading the seminar of our Hispanic leaders, church planters. Waterloo, Iowa, we spent 5 weeks with them trying to get them to the next spot, and the ministry is growing much better here, and we're really excited about what we're seeing. This is Pastor Fernando and his wife, Patty, and their family there. The Hispanic retreat, 2 weeks before this retreat, we had two people signed up. We had rented a camp for a weekend, and we had two people signed up. 2 days beforehand, we had 48 people signed up. The night before it was supposed to begin, there were 48 people signed up. I got an email from a pastor, Pastor Moises. He says, "Brother, looking forward to seeing you. We have a good group of brothers." He's in Spanish, he sends to me. And I'm thinking, none of them are signed up. So I sent a note and said, "What's a good group?" And he said, "Oh, 25 to 30. So Wanda, she called the camp immediately and said, but it wound up that we had 109 people there. And it was the most exciting time and really exciting. That's Pastor Moises, and this is the church that's having some real problems, and he and I are talking about it at this point. And this is Pastor Collazo and his wife. This is a little bit about BCP and the amount of churches and church plants, active church plants that are going right now. BCP is relatively a new mission agency, and there's been 26 churches established and going, 24 church plants that are actively growing right now. This is where they are in various parts, and it identifies the different kinds of ministries that they are. So continue to pray. Here's some prayer requests for us. Continue to pray for the financial and prayer support. And we're really excited about what God is doing. He keeps us going. He keeps us afloat, just like He did when we were on the road in the past. But this, of course, is a different ministry and mentality and all. And we have a number of prayer supporters and financial supporters along the way. And our support at this point, our goal is about $3,600, which that includes being able to purchase tickets to fly and get to places where I need to go, like the place in Austin, Minnesota. I just need to fly there, and so we keep some money set aside always for that. And this is where our support is at this point. Need a beginning of the church plant in Lorain, so we're hoping to see that get established here this fall with a Bible study beginning on Wednesday night. And need for more laborers of all sorts to be able to help. Need for a translator. What I mean by that, not to translate for me, but to translate materials. And our church planters are too busy. They just can't do it because it's a lot of work to do it and to get it right. So somebody has to be fluent and understand grammar in both languages. So Wanda and I, as we continue planting, partnering, and preparing, and continue to pray for us, we know that you do. And we appreciate the contacts that you continue to touch base with us. So there's a jet plane flight for you all and to see what God is doing in our lives. So I am 2 minutes over, all right? So we better pray and prepare ourselves for the time in the Word, okay? Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. We so thank you, and we have over the years. We pray for this church, Grace, and for the pastors, and we thank you so much how we have known Pastor and Mrs. LaRue over the years, Lord, and we just thank you for that, and thank you for the Kaminskis, and for so many, many years, and for meeting the Hoshes in Florida many, many years ago, and how we just rejoice in the ministry here. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to continue to pray for each other. Thank you for the encouragement we can give to each other, and just phone calls back and forth at times, and emails and things. So help us, Lord, to be so grateful and thankful for what you do in our lives. And we'll be careful to give you the praise as we seek to worship you in song and in word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.